The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
All right, Russ, it is that time, man. I'm ready to go on vacation. How do you think I should pack?
Bro, come on, man. You can't ask a question like that.
What are you talking about?
That is the equivalent of what one of our people went on and made a comment on our YouTube page on the Dave Ramsey is Wrong video that we have that really incites a lot of people. But somebody went on there and there was like giving a comment saying, I just feel like it's irresponsible the way Dave will give just feedback to people. He's like, I just literally listened to Dave. Somebody called in and said, hey, Dave, I'm trying to figure out how to get out of this whole life policy I bought without losing my shirt. And Dave Ramsey's response was, you've already lost your shirt if you're in it. And the guy went on to say, well, I've been doing it for 10 years. I've got been putting $1,000 a month in, and I have like $130,000 of cash value. Well, if you did the math, 120 times 1,000 is only 120. So
right.
you haven't lost your shirt. He had more money in it than he had put in it. But that little piece of information is what Dave just went ahead and gave what I would say is financial malpractice. And it's this very equivalent to our topic today, Joey. Whenever people are asking us, should I start a new policy with this extra cash I have, or should I pay back a loan?
That's right. And there has to be a follow-up question to that. Like, you have to know there's a framework, like in the case of the vacation, like, well, what kind of climate are you looking for? What do you want to do while you're there? Like, there's
how long
all
are you
going
to be gone?
Yeah, there's all sorts of follow-up questions. And that's the kind of thing when you have excess capital, whether it's a cash flow monthly or it's a windfall of some sort or some sort of dollar sitting there and you have policies going, you want to know the answer to that question. We are going to put you through a framework. And today's episode is going to help you uncover that even for yourself. You need to be educated so that you can start making those decisions on your own.
No, I think knowing, as you said, the framework that happens in this episode. And by the way, if you're listening to this episode for the first time, we are always talking on Tuesdays about how do you use the concept of infinite banking, which is using dividend paying life insurance policies as a financial tool for us, a savings tool, if you will allow us to leverage it to keep our dollars compounding for the rest of our life. And when we get in this position, we create large loan balances against these policies. Joey and I are using these policies to help fund our land flipping business, our short-term rental business, and our main line business that we're talking to you on. And when we get windfalls, we've got to find out, we got to ask ourselves these same framework questions. Should we pay back loans? If so, how much? And or should we start new policies?
That's right. And if you've ever been in that position before, today's episode is going to uncover, hopefully, a way that you can start thinking about this and get yourself further down the path of financial freedom. That's ultimately where infinite banking plays, is it helps you get there faster. Let's go ahead and dive into this episode and belly up.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the round table. I'm your host, Russ, the idea guy, Morgan. I love talking about infinite banking, and today is a decision-making day. You're going to have to decide, do you start a new policy or do you pay back loans? Because that's the topic. That's the only one you can choose from. It's got to be one or the other. And I'm going to hear from the million-dollar smile, Mr. J.D. Hill, first today. J.D., what do you think? Which one should you do?
I say payback policy loans.
Payback policy loans. Okay. Hey, by the way, when you, what was the game show that had everybody on the squares? Was the Hollywood Squares, is that what it's called?
The Brady Bunch.
I mean, so. The Brady Bunch. Yeah. I think it was Hollywood Squares. Maybe it was Brady Bunch, but that's what I feel like today as I'm looking at you guys across the table. Now, I've got to introduce somebody that today, his shirt does not match his backdrop. You can see him clearly. Our resident pilot, Mark the Gooch. How are you, Gucci? Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
Not much. I told you guys there's a rotation, and I got to keep, you know, cycling the shirts through because I'm not doing laundry every week. So
I'm going to say, I'm going to cycle this one out. This one didn't do it for me. It did not do it. Now, on the other side of the table, I have downtown Ernie. I'll ask you a million questions. You got to speak up today. Brown. What's up, Ernie?
What's up, Russ? How are you?
Man, I'm 100%. I'm 100% today. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I got the Rona last week. The my Corona.
It wasn't good. No bueno.
But you know what? It also wasn't that bad. Do you think it's just because I'm bulletproof, or it just, I got a mild case, or this is just what it's about?
I think it might have something to do with all those oils you probably dumped on your head.
Yeah.
Ooh, the oils, definitely. I have been sprinkling some frankincense and some raven all over me. Yes, I am that guy. All right, last but not least, my partner in crime, the Italian Stallion, Mr. Joey Murray. What's up, Joey?
Howdy. Glad to be here. And I'm excited about this subject, Russ, because this is one of, if not one of the most asked questions. When people have extra cash, they're looking for, okay, this dilemma. Back and forth, I've got policy loans. Is that a bad thing that I have those? I mean, I've been trained to think that loans are, you know, a negative thing, but in infinite banking world, those could be positive. So should I just use this towards starting a new policy or not? So anyways, I'm just excited. We're getting to cover this today. And if you're, by the way, if you're on watching today live, because you're in our inner circle, keep throwing questions out as we go so that we can answer them as we're going.
Actually,
that would be a good idea.
I'd like to throw this one out. Everyone who's in here, why don't you, if you could, put in the chat and just let us know right now off the top of your head, what would you do? And we'll see how, what everybody thinks when we get to the end.
Good call. Yeah, I like that. Good call. All right. Well, this is an interesting thought process, Joey. And I think one of the things we have to go through in our heads is the first question I typically ask is when you come to me and you say, Russ, should I pay back the loan or should I start a new policy? Because usually it's because I have some new amount of money, whether it's monthly, a big lump sum. And so that's where I really want to know. I think that the real first starting point or the framework that we have to go through on this is kind of, where is the source of funds coming from? Is it sustainable? Are you going to see it happen on a regular basis, or is this just like a one-time thing? What do you guys think? Is that what process do you take somebody through, Ernie, when they ask you, hey, what should I do here?
Yeah, I think evaluating the source of the funds, because it's an in-time decision. I think we're making a decision in the moment, but in light of what? In light of where we're at. So I think another thing is the source of funds is one thing. Is it going to be consistent? Like you said, is it a one-time thing? But another thing to look at what point in our life are we, right? Where's our life cycle? How much longer do we want to have source of funds coming in to expand? Or are we at a point where we want to start to replenish? And that might be a way to think about this is new premium, expand, loan repayment, replenish. And I think it depends on where we're at. And I think we'll be evaluating that constantly because we won't just ask this question one time. I think this is an over and over and over question we'll be asking ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, JD, I appreciate it.
Go ahead. JD, what do you think? I don't want to hear from Joey yet. I want to hear from you.
You don't want to hear from Joey? You want to hear from me?
Yeah, man.
Well, I think it's interesting. Are we expecting a windfall? Right. Of cash, in the future. Cause that could determine if we pay back a loan or if we start a new policy as well. I think another thing to consider is, you know, as you're continuing to expand your system with, different businesses or in real estate, are we being overly ambitious, right, with what we're expecting in terms of return? And, you know, I think all of those things need to be taken into account and into consideration, on whether we start a new policy or, are we being strategic with how we take out a loan because we are expecting a windfall in the future to then repay that? Because if we are, then we can take increased cash flows and we can start a new policy with it.
Joey?
I think a couple of things. And actually, this is something that Ernie brought up to me that I'm grateful he reminded me that where you're at with your current policies is important. Like some people may have just started theirs. And they've got sometimes 10 years left on their paid up additions rider. And they're continuing to overfund their current policies with that. But some people may be within a year or two of their paid up addition rider falling off. Sometimes that's 60 or 70% of what they've been used to putting in the way of deposits into a policy. Man, there very well could be a reason to get one started a little bit sooner than later. Because we know that that's coming.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one, we got to have clarity and direction as to which path we're trying to go. Like you're saying, I think if we use the lens of thinking long range, are we making a decision for today or are we making it for 10 years from now, 30 years from now? And I think, you know, all of that has to go into this. And I, you know, obviously this is one of those things you really would love to always know the answer to. Which one should I do? Give us the simple response. And there is no simple response to money. It always depends, right? That's why it's important to have a coach. I mean, Joey, imagine if you wouldn't have had me early on in your life, how in the world would you have made it?
I mean, when you put it like that, Russ, I mean, I'd be lost. I'd be just completely without direction. There's no question.
You definitely wouldn't be in your closet right now.
That's right. There's no way. He would be in that roving car driving around somewhere with his phone still attached to his hip. And what I mean by like he used to have the buckle where it was attached to his belt. He would still be there. Talking to like realtor after realtor, he would not be on the path to financial freedom because he wouldn't have been thinking that way. So what are some things though that we need to consider, right? I think there's some obstacles that we've got to overcome. Mark, what would you say are some of those things that are going to help play into our decision that we better watch out for? Otherwise it'll catch us.
Well, I think we've gone through some of that here already, which is, you know, am I being overly ambitious? Am I forecasting something that probably doesn't really fit into the realm of reasonable? You know, am I extending myself to the point where any little hiccup along the way is going to cause a problem? And maybe then it's time to, okay, let's reel this back and let's do a more strategic approach that has a higher probability of success.
Well, Sherry, I know you've been applying this personally. So it's always the easiest to learn from stories, and our own experience are the ones we can tell the easiest. So how have you been applying this personally in your own life?
So there's actually a couple angles that I can come at this one from. I hit a point where I'd hit my max insurable amount. So even if I had more dollars, I couldn't get more insurance. So I was kind of stuck in that quandary. So my avenue of solution was, well, let's put all those excess dollars and let's pay back what we've borrowed out. Let's make more space to then go out and do other deals. Let's lower the balance amount. And one of the things I was just thinking about here is, if you came into a windfall right now, and maybe you didn't have sustainable cash going forward, could you do two things at once? Could you pay down part of your loans, which would then create a sustainable cash flow going forward, and then now create a new policy from that sustainable cash flow? So it may not necessarily be a one or the other. There may be opportunities where through discussion, through conversation, we might be able to do two things here at once.
Well, Mark, I want to add to that. Like, what we're talking about here is not a cut and dry black and white answer to that question. Like, should I start a policy or should I pay back loans? And I think the most valuable thing that we can do on this show today is to talk through the framework of how to think about it. Because when I say you that are listening, you are in our inner circle, you that are engaging with Wealth Without Wall Street, you're on a path of financial freedom, but it's your path. It's ultimately your goals that you're trying to accomplish, and your policy and your system of policies is yours. But how the key thing we can do as coaches is to help provide you the framework to think. Nelson Nash, our mentor, the guy that is, has given us the gift of infinite banking, was 100% of the time trying to get us to think. And I'm just grateful we get to have this conversation, because it's going to hopefully expand your thinking to where you know what the answer is for you, and your coach can only solidify that with you by making sure you're thinking through the proper framework. I just wanted to add
that. Well, I mean, no, I think that that's important. Like, I mean, you got to know all of the factors that go into that discussion, right? Because there is opportunity cost if on both sides of the on the equation. There's an opportunity cost of what would that policy be worth if we would have started it, right? Because, I mean, we're going to live a certain number of years, and at the end of our time frame, those last 2 years, 5 years, 15 years, whatever it is, that's the first couple of years of the policy that you start. But on the other end of the coin is the expense of carrying the loan balance. And we've made it clear so many times on the show, you can't borrow money from these insurance companies just for the sake of borrowing money and make money. That doesn't work, right? I mean, our country is constantly trying to accomplish this objective, and we're seeing the implications of it. There are definitely symptoms from complete debt and always going into debt. But if we're borrowing the dollars and putting them to work at a higher return, and that is not by starting a new policy, by the way, that's by buying assets that produce cash flow. There's the rub. We're trying to determine which one of those things should I make the decision today. Do I reduce my interest expense today by paying off the loan, or do I carry the interest expense, start a new policy? Because the things I'm doing with the borrowed money is coming back at a fast pace. So if I've got so much cash coming back to repay policy loans, and I'm going to pay them off in, say, 2 or 3 years. Let's just use an example here, and this isn't going to be a perfect one, but let's just use a $100,000 policy loan. The interest rate on a policy loan is 5%. Is that fair, simple? So
yeah,
if you're keeping track with me at home here, if I had a policy loan of $100,000 at 5%, how much in interest did I pay that year? $5,000. Everybody's with me then. All right. Let's say at the end of year one, I got $50,000 worth of cash and I paid off $50,000 or half my policy loan. And so by the end of year two, I would pay how much in loan interest over year two? if I had $50,000 policy loan?
$2,500.
Hey, by the way, just throw them out there. When you guys think about it, it's okay. You talk over each other on this. I know Joey's over there trying to take off his shoes to figure this math out, but we got it. All right. So let's say at the end of year two, I get $25,000 and I pay off half of that policy loan. In year three, how much interest am I going to pay, Joey?
I'm sorry?
$1,250. I'm not going to make everybody suffer through that. All right. So if we add up $5,000, $2,500 at $7,500 plus $1,250, we've got what? $8,750 in that's 3 years. That's our interest expense. Okay. So think about that in an example. So now, Joey, I start a policy. Instead of paying off the policy loan, I start a policy and I start putting that cash in. And let's just say that I'm just making up numbers. I don't even know what the numbers I'm using as an alternative to doing this. But let's just say I would have started a policy for $20,000 a year. What will be the growth? And you don't even have to know what it is. You can guess. What will be the growth on that policy in about 15 years from now?
From putting $20,000 a year in for 15 years, you said?
Yeah. What do you think year 15's cash value growth will be on a $20,000 deposit?
Probably about $30,000.
So it's going to be 50.
What I put in grow to plus another 30. Yeah.
Plus more, right? So what if that was my example, do we think that we can make up the $8,750 if we started the new policy?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, but if I carried $100,000 balance on that insurance policy for 15 years, that number is going to start getting big because it's going to be $5,000 the first year. Then it's going to be $5,000 plus interest because it's going to be $105,000 balance at 5%. And it's going to keep growing and growing and growing, right?
That's right. That's
my new policy is not going to outpace that. So when we look at this from a vision standpoint, the way that we have, that's why we have to think long range. We have to say, how long am I going to carry this loan balance before I would have it paid off? And it's not that, I still carry policy loans. I mean, do you guys all have policy loans right now?
Yep.
Yes.
So we're always carrying policy loans, but it's because we're doing stuff with the money positively, hopefully, right? We're creating cash flows. And I think that's the part that when we're looking at this, that's why it requires us to think long range. We have to see, are we looking at our policies as assets? Are we looking at them as expenses? Is our policies going to keep growing and expanding so that way we can raise our system?
Is Amazon an expense or is that an asset? Just out of curiosity, because my wife thinks it's an asset.
Well, those who bought into Amazon like 100 years ago, that they probably are 10 years ago.
I'm talking about Amazon deliveries. That's what I'm talking about, Amazon deliveries.
Well, I mean, are you guys starting like a cardboard box and, recycling plant there at your house?
We should.
If you repurpose those boxes, there are ways to make money. Here's a off-track story. We were moving from our lake house, what was that, like a week or two ago, and I needed four boxes. I had to go pick up the U-Haul trailer. I go up to the U-Haul place, which is at a boat repair shop, like of all places to put a U-Haul. I walk in, of course, the two guys in there, I would say there was a banjo, but I'm not certain either one of them would know how to play it. But it was definitely an interesting place. And the guy's like wallet sitting there in front of me and his keys. And it's like on the lower shelf in front of me. And he can't see. I'm like, hey, by the way, somebody's wallet's up here. He goes, well, the gun's back here, so I don't think they're going to get very far. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. But anyway, I said, hey, I'm picking up this trailer. and I need four or five boxes. Do you guys sell like large boxes? He says, what is large? I'm like, I don't know, like 3 foot wide, 3 foot tall. And he kind of was like doing his hands and I'm like, yeah, he goes, let me go check. So I wanted to go, I was thinking he's going outside to see if his inventory of boxes have come in, right? Well, so I paid for the trailer and then it hits me. I don't have the boxes. And the guy's like, hey, my boss man says he's got those boxes for you. I'm like, oh, cool. I walk around. He's got these three flimsy boxes. You can tell Amazon had delivered some parts to his establishment. Maybe not in the last 30 days. I mean, a couple of them had grease on them and stuff. And he's like, will you give me for these five? You want to call it $5? And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you were literally just took tools out of this box and handed them to me. But anyway, you can sell boxes. You can make some money back. I'm just telling you, you just find a U-Haul distributor and sell them.
Thank you for being on motivation. That's a good new business model for me.
So did you barter them down to $2?
No, I just gave him the $5 and got out of there. And maybe that's where I got the coronavirus. Now I know where it came from.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Ernie, I know you've dealt with our clients probably a lot more than Joey and I have. And you hear stories and you've thought about ways to help people with this. Give us probably one of the most recent examples that you can think of where somebody was having to make this decision.
A recent example, I mean, today I had one where these people are anticipating an inheritance really soon. And so we're talking about carving out, but plowing ahead with premium and intentionally carving out policy loans. And I like that story, but I'll tell you that we got this guy who's been a client for a couple of years now, and his whole thought process, if we had talked about this and to this guy, this subject to this guy a couple of years ago, he'd have no context. So maybe there's someone listening to this that is in the same boat as us, and that's okay. But this guy, we're having this conversation 2 years after starting IBC, and it's completely switched his mindset on using cash. He works in sort of like IT, like surveillance, he's in security system type stuff for a corporation. So he goes to work, but he's got this business partner. He's getting started in real estate. So he's doing that on the side. In the meantime, he wants to use cash for real estate better. So he's taking his cash flow from his work. He's putting in these policies and he's putting it towards real estate. And he's expanding. And his business partner is really pushing. Pretty intense, kind of military background kind of guy. And so he's being pressed forward. And it's totally changed his mindset because now he's starting to see those real estate deals come back. And some of those are flips. So he's getting lump sums of cash. And so he sees this growing and expanding. And by the way, that's his pathway out of his work. This real estate eventually is going to do this. And so we have gone and we started policies on his kids. And now he come back after we finished those up and immediately wanted to do another one on him, which is awesome. But there's a scenario where he is intentionally leaving space in his policies for this real estate deals to eventually come back. And he's plowing cash flow ahead in new policies. And he's going to have to start having new kids at this point once they keep doing policies like this.
Which, by the way, I just want to jump in. Somebody asked a question here. Kevin asked a live question here. My problem is I have a huge pile of cash that I want to put into policies, but not enough income to sustain my current policies, much less more policies. Plus, I'm at the limit of how much insurance I can get on myself. Now, there's probably a lot more, you know, details that we don't know based on that little bit. But just when you hear that, JD, what's maybe a thought that you have in light of this question Kevin's brought up?
Some more questions for sure, but I think to me, that's not a problem to have a huge pile of cash. To me, that's an opportunity. And, you know, depending on how your current policies are set up, I mean, you could obviously take that cash that you have and bleed it over to your current policies to offset wherever you're short on your income. But to me, it sounds like you have a really good opportunity there to obviously continue to sustain your current policies. I don't know if you have any loans on your current policies, to know if you need to repay some loans. But it sounds like you've done a really good job of planning. If you're already at the limit of how much insurance you can get on yourself, that I would be looking at, you know, where can you find some opportunities to deploy that cash to buy some assets?
Well, and I think if you buy the assets can produce the cash flow on a more sustainable basis that can pay the premiums, right? I mean, I think one of the things we talked about last week is that we also can think about when we buy assets and we borrow money from the insurance policies to buy those assets, not only are we wanting to make sure we have enough to pay back the money borrowed plus the interest the insurance company have charged us, but why not have extra meat on the bone that's also paying new premiums, right? I mean, so that's where I would think just getting us more focus. I got one last example, and I know we'll wrap up. By the way, if you're not a member of our inner circle, you need to be. And go to wealthwildwallstreet.com/innercircle, and you can participate in the second half of this discussion where we let everybody come in and we actually start drawing this out. And it's much easier to learn when it's just like example after example, and you get to ask your question to this specific topic. But here's an example I have. When would you ideally, Joey, like to have all the loans paid back on your life insurance policy?
I'd like to have them paid up whenever I want to sell off the assets I've created and create just a passive income stream. Doesn't take anything, you know, to manage.
All right. So to say that simpler, when you get ready to take income from the life insurance policy, you would want to have all the policy loans paid off at that time so you could have the max income from it, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect. You said that very well. I just wanted to compliment you on how well you said that. Well, I thought about that same exact scenario. So I have a dentist friend of mine, and he has a number of life insurance policies, and he's taken out policy loans to do private lending. He bought equipment for his practice. He's actually built a whole brand new practice using policy loans. There's just a lot of things. He actually did something really fun. He built a swimming pool with one of those really cool hot tubs that flows into the swimming pool, something I'm looking to do. Like, there's a lot of fun things he's used his cash values to use for. And he was asking me the question, when should I get all of these policy loans paid back? Because he was at that dilemma where his cash coming in was greater than his premiums, which were big, by the way, but it was still greater than his premiums much. And it was to the tune of about $8,000 to $12,000 a month. It kind of varied. And he was like, you know, obviously I can repay these policy loans, but at the pace that I'm repaying them, I'm going to pay them back off in 2 to 3 years. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be a problem, wouldn't it? He goes, yeah, because I plan to work for at least another 7 to 8 years. I was like, well, you know, so if we pay back all the policy loans and in 3 years, then we start a policy, that policy is only going to be 4 or 5 years old when you get ready to quote unquote retire and leave the dental business. That's probably not an ideal situation for this policy. What would be more ideal is if we set up your policy loan repayment on a schedule to have it paid off at the end of the 7 to 8 year period of time. And by doing that, we could figure out exactly what the interest was going to cost him, the amount, the exact dollar he needed to charge for his current policy loans to you know, make his little schedule payback to himself. And then we knew exactly what the cash flow was differently to start new policies. And I don't know if you're an analytical like he is, but that was one of those really like eye-opening, like light bulb moments. He was like, oh, brilliant. So we can take, we can start this new policy for, I don't know, it was like $7,500 a month or whatever it was, because he said, okay, I have this extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month. I know this is what needs to go to policy loan repayment. And if I do that over the next 7, 8 years, I'm going to have the current balance paid off. Now, we already said, we know we're going to borrow money over the next 7 years. So we're just going to need to add to that at the same schedule. So every time you borrow money, we need to make sure whatever repayment is going toward it is going to be paid off at the end of that 7 years. Now, if your situation is not like his, where you don't have a finite end date. You're like, I'm going to keep doing what I do forever. It's a little more difficult, but there are ways and methods like that that you can come up with the answer. So I know this is one of those hard to tackle subject matters. Guys, I think you did an excellent job, Joey included. And I hope that this was at least gave you a start to, you know, how would you think about what option should you choose? So first, we're going to do kind of a framework. Ernie, would you mind just like hitting those high points again for everyone of maybe the process they should take themselves through? And then we'll go ahead and jump into our inner circle.
A process for them to go through for what, Russ?
What would be the framework that someone should go through as they're trying to make this decision? There's probably five or six steps that they could go through, just summarizing what we covered today.
Okay. All right, perfect. Yeah, so when we're making the decision, which is an over and over and over and over again decision, we want to know if we have cash coming in, where is it coming from? Is it consistent? Is it one time? Is it sustainable or is it a windfall? Where are we at that point of, do I have 3 or 4 years before I want to hang up the hat and take passive income? Or do I have 30 years? We'll let that dictate. Where are we? Are we on the way up? Or are we about to crest and we want to start coming down? Do we need access to the full amount of the cash? Because we make a policy loan, we have 100, or we make a policy loan repayment, we have all the cash. We start a new policy, where you're talking about with your friend, we have the startup period in that policy again. Is there any more cash returning in lump sum, another windfall in the future? I wonder is your dentist friend, is he selling his business? Is he about to get a payday? You know, maybe he intentionally wants to not pay back that loan on that schedule if he's having a payday. And then where are you at with your current policies? If we're paying paid up addition rider, are we getting to a point where the premiums that we're paying now, we're soon not going to be able to pay those same premiums? And can we anticipate that and go ahead and take that difference and start a new policy? And then finally, are there other people who we need to insure? Because we're talking a couple times, we max out our insurability. Well, are there other people that we need to be getting insurance on? Our spouses, but particularly our kids and our grandkids. Do we need to be thinking generationally when we're anticipating? I'm fine leaving this earth with policy loans if I've got policies going on my kids. Totally good with that. So that'd be a checklist of things that we want to check.
Man, so good. Thank you so much for listening to this discussion today. Joey, we're going to be back next week and we're going to be talking about what?
Next week is, what is a term conversion? What does that even mean and how can it benefit me?
All right, perfect. Well, come back and join us next week as we cover what is a term conversion? How do you use it? And as always, have an amazing day. And don't forget to join the inner circle so that you can participate every single week as we have these discussions going deeper into the inner canals of the life insurance and the infinite banking concept.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.